Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Steelers, I won't go into it thinking I'm not going to watch the whole game. I'll go to sleep about 10. I'll stay up till 11:30 and have to take 19 sleeping pills. Because I take Unisom when I can't sleep. So you know. If I sound dopier than normal tomorrow, that's why. Hey, before I grab JD here, anybody understand why we're seeing so many of these annoying ads for Supreme Court? Anyone? Anyone? 866-391-1020. It's all day, man. It's all night. And I'm reading now, they've spent more than $10 million. Half of them want you retain the current justices, Supreme Court. They have a 5-2 margin, the Democrats. I know two of them. Kevin Daugherty and David Wecht. Had them both in studio here once, years ago. The other one is Christine Donahue. The Republicans want them out. Out. And the ads are all day and all night. Nothing for anything else. Not one ad for the mayor's race. Duh. Nothing for county council. Duh. Nothing for anything else. Anyone know why? Anyone? Come on. I didn't. I didn't know why. I had to look it up. I didn't know why they were annoying the hell out of me. 866-391-1020. Anyone know why these ads are running till you want to throw up? Anyone, 866-391-1020. You know who knows? My man, JD, the best in the game. John Delano, what's up, brother?
Hey, Marty, great to be with you and all your listeners today.
JD, $8 to $10 million spent so far. Annoying.
Yeah, amazing.
Why, sir? Why are we seeing this all day and all night?
Well, it's because these courts all across America have become increasingly political on issues that are fundamentally important to lots of people. In this particular case, where, as you know, the Democrats control the state Supreme Court, I think the real issue in the long run is reapportionment. That is, what do these legislative and congressional districts look like? People may forget that because of a deadlock in the state legislature, about five, 10 years ago, the congressional districts that we now have in Pennsylvania were drawn by the state Supreme Court. Typically, it's a legislative act. The state house, the state senate, and the governor agree on a bill on how to cut up the districts. And if one party controls the state, they carve up districts in order to hurt the other party. They do what's called gerrymandering. And so they make these squiggly-looking districts that are really wacko. We had a wacko one that the Republicans drew in the last census, before the last census in 2010, that got tossed out by the court, and the court ended up substituting its own districts when the legislature deadlocked on a plan. Now, that plan that the court came up with made the districts very even and that wasn't quite as squiggly as they are as they used to be. And by the way, both parties do this. I'm not trying to label one party or the other.
Right.
But right now, Republicans nationally want to take control of the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court so that they can create district lines that only elect Republicans and not Democrats. And, of course, the Democrats don't want to see that happen. So when you're voting yes, you're voting to keep three justices who happen to be Democrats. Now, they will argue that they're not partisan Democrats and that they will, that, you know, there are lots of Republican judges who are not partisan Republicans either. But the national parties are hoping that by having a Supreme Court justice of their ilk, they'd be more likely to rule their way. And this retention election, just that's what it is. You vote yes on David Wecht, on Christine Donahue, or on Daugherty. And those are the three Democrats who are up. If we voted no on them, those seats would become vacant, and the Republicans in Washington think they'd have a shot at electing a Republican justice.
Which, by the way, J.D., the next election wouldn't be till 27, right?
That's right. The initial appointment would come from a Democratic governor,
wow.
But it would have to be approved by a Republican state senate. So the bottom line is that, first of all, we have only defeated on a retention one state Supreme Court justice ever in Pennsylvania history. So normally, sorry for that siren if you hear it
That's
in the
okay.
background. But the bottom line is that it's very rare when a judge has been serving on the bench for 10 years, as long as they haven't done anything super controversial, they tend to get retained for another 10 years. And that's what Wecht and Donahue and Daugherty are asking voters. Just they've had 10 years, they want another.
But, J.D., we haven't seen this kind of money spent before, have we?
No, and a lot of this money is coming from what we call dark money. It's hard to know exactly who is contributing to these ads, the vote no ads and the vote yes ads. And that makes it suspect, too, to be honest. So I think what people aren't going to take the time to research who's David Wecht. You know, he's the son of Cyril Wecht. So he has a bit of a name. He's a Yale law guy. I mean, he's a very bright, brilliant fellow.
Yeah, cool guy. Yeah, yeah.
You know him. And Christine Donahue is also from Western Pennsylvania. Daugherty is from back east in the Philadelphia area.
Oh, yeah.
He's very much of a labor guy. Pro-labor. His brother was head of the labor council over there. So these are folks who have been serving on the bench for quite a while. And the question is it time to kick them off or not? And they're trying to create issues. I mean, both sides try to create issues. You know, is this a referendum on abortion rights? You know, that kind of thing.
Hey, J.D.
And is this a referendum on letting the sexual abuse victims out of court or something?
Come on. You know? Hey, J.D., will anyone turn out for this, buddy?
No.
No way.
No.
This
is going to be one of these elections where I suspect I'd be surprised if it hits 15-20% statewide.
Whoa.
It's going to be low because, first of all, you put your finger on it, Marty. There's no mayor's race in Pittsburgh. That's what would bring voters out, a mayor's race. But there isn't a race. There's not much of a race at all. And in Philadelphia, the DA's race is the hottest item over there, and that's not hot because the DA is going to win re-election. It's a Democratic city, Democratic DA. So there are very few parts of Pennsylvania, frankly, where there's anything really exciting on the ballot. It's not like next year's election with the governor or 2 years from there, the president. But this is going to be a very ho-hum election. And that's what has both sides worried. They do not know who's going to come out.
Nice.
They have no clue who's going to vote. And I always say in that situation, who's got clout? You and me. Those of us who vote. We got clout.
Man, J.D., they're going to spend up to $20 million and no one's going to turn out. Wow.
Yeah, yeah, that's like giving everybody $1,000 to vote.
Wow. JD, you're the man. Thanks, my brother. You're the absolute best, my man. Thank you.
Hey, always good being with you, Marty. Have a great day, everybody.
Now I know what it's about. And now I know you folks don't give a damn. Seriously.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
...15% turnout. Come on, man. Come on, man. And then people complain that they're not represented. Come on. You got county council seats up. You got the mayor thing going. You got the Supreme Court thing going, and you get 15% turnout. Come on, man. I got this woman calling, and you got to grab her, Trevin, about this robbery downtown. It's unbelievable stuff. She's calling right now. It's unbelievable. Roberta, go ahead.
Oh, hi, Marty. I just wanted to thank you for having a conversation about the election.
JD.
Yes, it was wonderful.
Come on, man.
I vote by paper ballot, so nice. I have to send mine in earlier. Yep. So if over the next few weeks, if you could talk about that, because I want to make informed decisions.
Nice.
So that I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
I promise you.
Thank you. Yes, thank you.
Because I'm kind of an idiot about it, so I have to get people. But changing gears. I just got this crazy email. You got to hear this story. It's unbelievable. It's both a horrible story about crime downtown and a heroic story about teenagers. Listen to this. Listen to this story. It's amazing. Oops, that's me. Hi, Jamie.
Hi there.
Wow. Wow, yeah, this is amazing. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Lay this out for us, my dear. This is crazy. Please.
Hi, yeah. So my mom works for Access Transportation in downtown Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
On Smithfield Street, and she was waiting for an access van herself outside yesterday. She was sitting on a bench, and a woman came up to her.
What time?
In a dress, about 4:45.
So rush hour.
Yeah, rush hour. Yeah. Kids were out of school. Everybody was out and about. And she came up and asked her for a lighter several times. And my mom's like, no, sorry. Oh, why? I don't smoke. And so my mom's handicapped right now with knee issues. So she tries to get up and walk away, like, have a good day. She said she tried to get up and walk away, and the woman snatched her necklace off of her neck.
Wow.
That had a little charm on it that said, you are my sunshine, from her granddaughters. And so my mother starts yelling. She was like, hey, stop that woman. She stole my necklace.
Wow.
And it was three teenagers that came walking by. It was a boy and two girls, and they took off.
Wow.
And the boy was on a bike, and he blocks the woman down the street from going any farther, and they kind of jump on her, and they get her charm back.
No.
And they bring it back to my mom.
This is unbelievable.
Yeah. And they were offering hugs, and they're like, ma'am, do you have any grandkids? And can we be your grandkids?
No.
That was so awful. And yeah, I just thought it was so sweet of them to do that for her. And then the woman came back.
What?
She had the nerve to come walking back up. Yep. And there was a guy who worked there at that time, and he said that he's calling the police. And these kids stood there and held her until the police could come.
Wow.
But yeah, I just thought how nice that the teenagers stepped in and did something good like that. They didn't have to do that. I feel like kids get a bad rap.
They do.
And that was right. And so that was so nice that they did that. They waited with her till she could get on her van. And I just thought the hugs were so sweet. Like, ma'am, we got you, girl.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's heroic.
Yeah, right.
And also kind of an indicator of how sketchy it is downtown.
It is, yeah. For them making all these people go back to work, they sure don't have the security presence that they need to.
And how old was the woman that ripped off the necklace? How old, roughly?
Well, probably 40s.
And was she high?
I imagine so.
Wow.
With no socks on, or with no shoes on, yeah.
Oh, wow. And not to be a goof, but what kind of value would your mom's necklace have had?
Well, it was definitely more sentimental value than anything, you know, and it was very sentimental to her. Yeah.
And now your poor mom is scared to death.
Yes. Yeah. She was crying. I told you in the email, she didn't want to cry and talk about it. So she had me do it. Yeah. But she's still shaken up. Her whole office is shaken up from it. I mean, it could have been a lot worse.
Well, hell yeah.
We're thankful that it wasn't. Yeah.
And it's a great story, though, to hear that these teens give a crap.
Yeah, for sure. I thought so.
If she runs into them, I need their names, man. I need to reward them, okay?
Yeah, I absolutely.
Jamie, I love you. I love the story. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Marty.
Wow.
Talk to you later.
Wow. Mom's sitting there. Some freak who's high grabs her coveted necklace and takes off. Three teens, and I'm always picking on them because they're bums down there sometimes. Step up, chase the criminal down, get the necklace back, rescue mom's necklace, hold the thief until the cops get there. Teenagers. Yes. Hope. Love that story.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Larry's crazy. He will stay up and watch that game. I am not exaggerating. He can't help himself. Do the math, because I worked that hell shift for about a year. It's horrible. And he's amazing. Ask Bartley, man. My man Bartley, when he has to work that shift, I come in and he's like zombie land. Huh? Who? Larry has some weird DNA. So that game, what time they start? 8:15, so it ends up about 11:30, right? Right? And by the time Larry de-escalates, calms down, 11:45, he gets up at 2:30. He gets up at 2:30. He's in there at 3:30. He's insane. I promise you, he will watch that whole game. I get up at 4:30. I'm debating whether or not to watch it. If I do, here's what happens. I get jazzed up as much as I don't want to. I have to take stuff to go to sleep. This Unisom crap. And one night, you're supposed to take two. Real little. It's over-the-counter stuff. One night, I was so jazzed because I couldn't go to sleep. It was like 1 o'clock. So you hit 1 o'clock, you're getting up at 4:30. You're like, you're fried until Monday. I had to take 7, 6 Unisom. That's not healthy. So my poor wife, she'll say, honey, don't watch. My man Jim, tape the second half. Watch it when you're working. And I can't. I'm a moron. I'm a loser. That's what Shumway used to do, but he's an intelligent human being. Shumway would go to sleep because he has a brain, wake up and watch the whole thing. I can't do that.
The thing about that is you'd have to avoid anyone telling you the score or anything like that, right?
Well, that's not going to happen. My wife doesn't care. So sometimes I would think, now go to sleep. And when I wake up, I'll check the score. No, I can't. Because I hear my phone buzzing. So if I just play it straight and don't take anything, I'll go to sleep about 2 in the morning. Maybe 2:30. I got a problem. Oh, well. Worse things can happen. I also take that. What's the supplement for sleep? I take it every night. I'm stupid. I don't remember it now. It works, kind of. Larry will watch the whole game and then go to bed. Melatonin. That seems to work. My son gets up to swim and I take him. Gets up about 10 to 5. My man walks up to his room at about 9:30. He's asleep at 9:35. He has a gift. My man Jimbo, Ambien sucks. I was hallucinating from that. I was. And there's cases where people get up and crash their car and fall in the kitchen. And I never have nightmares. I was having night terrors from Ambien. No more. No more. I got to tell a quick story. And it matters to me, and it matters to me a lot. And it matters to so many of you who have loved ones that are kind of fighting a battle to live. My sister's, Barb, as you know. She does not mind me telling these stories. In fact, she likes it. She's had chemo for 2.5 cancer for 2.5 years. They gave her a year to live, so she's amazing. But the chemo makes her sick as hell, and I mean horrible. If anyone, raise your hand, you've been through chemo, it's hell. It's living in hell. And she gets it once a week. And she was so sick, she couldn't get it last week. And so she goes in today to Hillman for chemo. My brother Chris took her in, who's the man. And her cancer marker at her last appointment was really high. What's really high? 560? It's very high. It's dangerous high. Okay. So she gets chemo, get sick as hell from it. And I mean, sick as hell. Pain like you never imagined. Vomiting, nausea, all that crap, if you know anyone that's had chemo. And so today was kind of the test for the end or get on with living. I'm not exaggerating. So the whole family waits for her to get these blood tests back. And anyone that's been through cancer knows this. You live and die by these freaking tests, whether you like this or not. This is kind of the game. So her marker was 5:30, her last test. She goes in, gets her blood test, and the cancer marker is 250. Cut it by more than half. And I'm sitting. I'm sitting here wanting to cry. That's all. You spend so much of your time loving your family. And I remember when my father was dying and had liver cancer, and every morning, I'm not trying to get morbid here, but anyone out there who's been through this, you know this war you fight in your head and in your heart. And so every morning, my sister Sandy, who's a miracle to us, would send my father's test for this number for his liver cancer. And we lived our lives based on a number. I'm not kidding. And thus it goes when you love someone. So my sister's lined up for another dose of chemo, and I send her a text, get on with living. I don't know. The best day I've had in a hell of a long time was the day when I was able to bring a Minio's pizza to my sister's house and she could eat a little piece. Because that brought her joy. And of all the things that we want in our lives, all the things that we want to happen, and you end up praying for a friggin' test to come back, someone else's test. That's what it is. It's all that matters, family. Get on with living. We tell personal stories on these shows because it matters to you, because these things happen to you. It's kind of what we do. When I tell a story about our cancer, I hear about your cancer, and then we find hope together. It's the only way you get through. Otherwise, you just sit in a chair and say, the world sucks, pass me another joint. I'm serious. You just give up and say, screw it. Which people do that too. And why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they? Because it's a horrifying experience. But the fact is that we see these things occur where some make tremendous progress in their effort to live. And to be honest, the story about my sister has a lot to do with her attitude. But she's always pleasant about it. I can't understand it. The problem is a lot of people give up and say, screw it, and just let me die. And then they die. As we get older, a lot of our peers, right, start to die of different things. And then so you end up going to these parties and everyone talks about who died last or who's dying from what. And that's when it's a drag. It's the Marty Griffin theory on life and why I like having young kids, because there's always a joy in the room. No matter where we go, if I'm with my kids, they're full of joy. My son still loves a piece of pizza. My daughters love pit football, pit volleyball. They love the college experience. They're in love. They have boyfriends. It's that, right? Chasing the rabbit thing. So you surround yourself with people who love and like to love and are pleasant, and it soaks in and you stay uplifted. You surround yourself people who want to die, and then you feel like you're dying. And I've seen it my whole life. It can choke you, man. A dramatic illness like that, it just can. Why wouldn't it? Most of the time you're sitting in a chair alone, and if you're in the chemo, you're sitting in that chair for 4 hours and you're thinking about, I'm going to die. You lose 60 pounds. You look like you just came from some concentration camp, right? Everybody feels sorry for you. And then you find hope, and here you are. I hope that these stories that we tell from time to time about hope and making a difference create that hope and optimism. My sister is very clear about it. If she didn't have kids and she didn't have family, she'd be dead. It's the truth. Why wouldn't she? Because all you got to say is, I don't want this chemo anymore, and then you die. And then you die. And that's part of what we do, right? We die, but you'd like to do it on your own terms. I wonder what my own terms are. My uncle's 95. My Uncle Mike. He's a badass. Love him. He still laughs. He said something the last time we talked. He said, everyone I know is dead. Everyone's dead. All my friends, my wife, one of my sons. You're 95, man. You're not chasing the rabbit anymore. The rabbit died. But somehow he's happy. And I find that with my sister and my family being around her. My sister told me last week when I was with her, we sit on her back porch and we go down there most Sundays. And my sister said, I would be dead if it wasn't for my family. My family has kept me alive. And it's just love. Right? You get in the car, you drive to your sister's, you laugh, you have some snacks, you watch some football, you watch some movies, you tell some stories, you pet the dog, you go home, and she's still alive. I think if you can find a way to provide hope for folks that you know that are struggling, then they're better off. If you can't, then they'll die. They'll die. I have friends that are dying that have no joy in their life. None, man. None. And I don't know what to do about that. Because no jokes can cover it. Nothing. And you're afraid to say, how you feeling? Because you know they're dying. But the example I gave of my sister and her cancer score gives you the hope that you need. Look, things happen. Things can turn around. You got to find a way to find joy in your life. It's all that friggin' matters. One of my closest friends, his wife has ALS right now. She's fallen down 4 times a day. She's the love of his life. I'm serious. He finds a way to find himself surrounded by love and kids and grandkids and joy every single day. And I asked him why. I said, what else do we have? We're going down swinging. She fell 4 times yesterday. I don't give a damn. We're going down swinging. You know why? Because they find joy. Learn one thing about life. If you can find joy, you'll be all right. If you can't, you're screwed. You really are.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.